If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Podcast Unlocked. It's IGN's weekly Xbox show. This is episode 631. I'm Ryan McCaffrey, joining you as usual here, alongside my usual co-host, Stella Chung. Good to see you.
Yeah, I just realized that next week and the week after, I'm probably not going to be on because I'm moving, so.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, I mean, moving is that's a real life thing, so I get
know.
It. All right.
It's so barren behind me. Anyways.
All good. Well, yeah, maybe you'll get down. By the time you get down there, the rain will stop because I was there and I was like drowning in torrential rain the whole time, but. That's not what we're here to talk about. Let's welcome first two wonderful friends. You've seen them on Unlocked before. Spawn on Me, the guru of all things Spawn on Me. You need to be watching and listening to this podcast. It is essential industry viewing and listening. Khalif Adams, good to see you.
Don't you make me blush on this podcast. Gosh darn it.
Oh, I will.
Good to see you. Good to see the crew and excited to talk about all the goodies today.
MC Fixer from the My Xbox and Me podcast, one of the best named podcasts, one of the best Xbox podcast logo in the biz. And yeah, sorry, that includes Unlocked. He's got it. He's got it. Hands down. MC Fixer, good to see you.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be back. And yeah, we got a lot to talk about. And maybe it's my Microsoft and me now. Who knows?
Well, let's just dive in. Because yeah, writing the show notes for this week was both the easiest it's ever been and also kind of difficult as well. Because it's like, well, I have many thoughts, but so do all of you. So I just jotted down a bunch of my thoughts this week. I guess I should back up for just in case any Unlocked listeners have, say, been on vacation to an island where there's no internet and you haven't heard what's been going on with Xbox over the past week. It is that exclusivity of Xbox games, yes, first party Xbox games, might be going the way of the Dreamcast. In other words, the graveyard. A series of reports, one after another, has, I don't think it's hyperbole to say, shaken the Xbox community to its core over the past week and left fans wondering, as the title of this episode implies, WTF is going on with the Xbox brand? And should these super fans, should we continue supporting the Xbox? What are they forsaking us? What is going on? And if it sounds like I'm sort of exaggerating and being sarcastic, I'm not. This is like, it's DEFCON 1, right? DEFCON 1's the highest one, not 5. 5's the lowest, 1's the highest. Yeah, it's DEFCON 1 this week. I have not seen morale this low in the Xbox community since the unveiling of the Xbox One in 2013. That's the level we're down at right now. So, I'm going to start. I'll just give you the quick recap, and then I'm going to shut up, and I want to hear from all of you, because before the show, you were all, like, dying to get your opinions out, and so that's how I knew this was going to be a good episode. So, this all started with reports a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago, that we actually talked about on Unlocked at the time, that Hi-Fi Rush, the fantastic shadow-dropped Tango Gameworks game that we got from the Developer Direct last year, might possibly be coming to the Nintendo Switch, which was then sort of allegedly confirmed by a data mine. I'm not sure if that's quite valid, but we've got some concrete reports that that's what's happening with Hi-Fi Rush. It's going to go over to the Switch. We talked about that here. I wasn't personally too bothered by that when we talked about it then, because, as I said, it's over a year old. We've had access to it on Game Pass for a year, so it's effectively free. It's, you know, with all due respect to Hi-Fi Rush, which is awesome, it's a B-tier game in the lineup. It's not the blockbuster Starfield or Indiana Jones or Halo or Gears or Forza or anything like that. So, okay. All right, they're thinking about bringing Hi-Fi Rush to Switch. Okay, sure. Then it was Sea of Thieves, maybe coming to PS5. And again, for me, six-year-old live service game, still going strong. I don't discount that for a second, but all right. It's been around forever. I'm not going to lose any sleep at night over Sea of Thieves moving over and coming out on PS5. But then, my friends, they came for the blockbusters. And that's where I started to go, wait, what? And the community started to go, uh-uh, no, this is not happening. So we've got reports, multiple reports from multiple outlets, a lot of credible sources this past week saying that Starfield is looking like it's going to come to PS5. Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, just announced, might be coming to PS5 after a short time. Even whispers, unsubstantiated whispers, is Gears of War coming to PS5 as well? And then it basically snowballed out of control after that. And I'll get into that piece of it and my own strong opinions on the messaging side of things later. But for now, I want to go around the table here and just hear from all of you on where we are, what you make of all of this, and kind of the state of the Xbox community and really the Xbox brand right now. Stell, I'm going to start with you.
Oh, great.
You're next in line, right?
I know. Listen, I know that the community is very much split on my opinions and whether or not I belong here. So let me start with that. Anything I say, you're going to be mad at. So let me just go ahead and say how I really feel. All right.
Please.
And yeah, whatever. Like, kiss my ass. So,
We got your back. We got your back. Don't worry. We got your back.
So, all day. I've always been of the opinion that people should be able to play games wherever they can, right? I've never been one to, you know, favor a particular console over the other, just because for me, I grew up not being able to afford a console. And so I didn't get to game until I was an adult. So for me, I'm like, wherever you can get it and play with your friends, do it. And so for me, hearing about Xbox wanting to release some of their games on other consoles, I'm like, okay, yeah, for me, I'm like, that's great for the consumer. That's great for gamers. I think this is an opportunity for people to finally experience things they weren't able to because maybe they were tied into like the PS5, right? Or like the PlayStation cycle. And they were just like, well, I just can't break out of it. Everything I've played has always been on the PlayStation. But now if some Xbox games from the PlayStation, it could be really good for them. Also, for me, like I know a lot of people are like, well, this, if Microsoft doesn't have exclusives, if we lose out on exclusives, then people aren't going to buy consoles as much. But I don't think that's Microsoft's concern. It's Microsoft. They make so much more money off software, off cloud services, off of other things that losing out on console sales and making money off of games, like more people buying games, more people buying their subscription service, all of that. I think that's something that they would potentially look at. And I want to point out, like, their office products and cloud services, they, in Q2 of 23, they earned, it was $11.84 billion. and gaming was only 4.76 billion. So it's like, yeah, I understand that there's this concern, but I don't think it's really going to hurt them. And I think they're looking more at how can we transcend Xbox to just this console? Because let's be real, they've been extending into PC for a long time now. And when you think Xbox, it's kind of PC oriented too, because there's crossplay. So for me, I think it's really great for the community. It's really good for, you know, people who might be working on Xbox games and they're like, man, I wish I had more of an audience. I wish I had more people to talk to about this. And now they can. So now there's more audience members being able to play those games and talk to their friends about that. So, yeah.
All right. All fair points. I like the off bring you bring it in office too, because that's something I think I'll be honest. I didn't know that. I hadn't looked at those numbers. You know, we know that the gaming division is significant in Microsoft, but yeah, you look at that office number that you just cited and it dwarfs the gaming number by a lot. And Office is on every platform. It's on Mac. Mm-hmm. It's not just on Windows. You can get it on Mac too. So yeah, great point there. Khalif, you're up next, my friend.
This has been the funniest week in gaming. This has been the most unreasonable conversation in gaming I've seen in a long time. And I have to start off the conversation with the preface of, with all the energy that has been around what is happening in the third party space, what is happening with Xbox and this thing, and to be fair, the way that many folks in the community have been so fervent and hyperbolic, and this has been like the best week for the worst hot bad takes that I've seen in a long time. I want to pause all of that conversation to say, with all of that happening, thinking about the greater world and what's happening in the greater world, this is so insignificant to the way that the world actually works and the ways that we need to be thinking about media and the ways we need to be thinking about our entertainment. I got to start that off because that's been bugging me as a part of this whole entire conversation. So I've had a lot of people get at me and call me many, many names and many, many things over the past week. And I've had that in the back of my mind of like, yeah, but we are adults and this is not an adult conversation we're having right now. Even if you spent tons of money to be in this Xbox ecosystem over multiple years, I am one of those folks as well. I have spent a ton of money in the Xbox space. Just because I've started a podcast in the past 10 years and now I get codes for stuff doesn't mean that before that time, I didn't spend multiple decades spending my own money to be able to do this stuff. So I feel the potential hurt for what that means. That being said, the arguments that I've heard from the community about what happens with exclusives, what happens if this means, does this mean that Xbox is going to go away in terms of the hardware space? Every argument that I've heard so far has hit me and I've internalized that and the response has been, and so what? What is the actual beef here? A lot of the folks who are coming to this conversation and saying that they're hurt and feeling betrayed by the brand and all of these hyperbolic parasocial emotions that are coming out of the woodwork because you feel like something has changed in the way that Xbox has been talking to you, has been treating you, and has been having those conversations with you, feels like a miscommunication, both coming from Microsoft and coming from the community, understanding their place within the ecosystem. And I think that has been a thing that has been really interesting and telling about what this means, not only for the brand, how they go about connecting with their audience, and what should the expectations be from an audience when you've heard Xbox brass say in multiple layers. Like we're going to talk about the messaging part during this conversation, but I think the part that always comes through, and I feel like I am hearing this with my non fanboy hat on. I'm trying to put on every hat that I can to get the best information here. And it feels like Phil Spencer for multiple years has said, and Xbox has said, from that GDC that happened maybe at 2015 or something like that, that conversation about being on every platform that they possibly can, giving you different ways to deliver games to you in all those kinds of ways, it feels like they have drilled down on that messaging and the Xbox community has punted it every time because there is this want to just think about the console and just think about how does my console feel in comparison to the competitor's console. And I feel like that miscommunication and that misinterpretation of that information is causing the biggest layer of strife that we see currently within this greater you know, feeling like everything is crumbling. I was talking to Red, the producer, earlier today, and I was saying, all of this energy feels like the end of Deep Impact when all the folks are standing on the beach waiting for the meteor to hit. I love you, Red. Waiting for the meteor to hit, and everybody's embracing, waiting for the death of Xbox to come. And I spoke to somebody online in the midst of all those conversations and said to them, fine, if exclusives are the biggest crux for you and they do go away, what is the thing that was keeping you on the Xbox platform, and what was that core experience that you were looking for that made you buy the console in the first place, that made you stick with the brand in the first place? And I have still not gotten a reasonable, good answer towards that yet. And that's where I wind up landing, is if this is the thing that makes you run away from the brand, and seeing that, God forbid, other people get to play a thing that you already will play, then what does that say about your fandom? And what does that say about the supposed loyalty that you had to the brand in the first place? If you're thinking about loyalty, respect, and feeling disrespected by that brand. So I'm still waiting for that answer, and I've still not gotten something that feels sufficient. So I don't want to take up the rest of it with that. I'm more fixer to go, but like, that's the basis of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I so want to engage with what you just said, but I've got to let I gotta say this. He messaged me right away and was like, can I be on this week?
Yeah.
So it's like, I know he's storing it up.
Love it.
You know, just storing up that energy, ready to go. So the floor is yours, my friend.
This not like this. This, everything is rumors. Nothing's confirmed.
True.
It's hard. It's hard for me because I hear both of your points and I sit here and nod my head and agree. But the problem I have is Microsoft's messaging for years has been messy, has been complicated, and hasn't made sense. We've heard Phil Spencer say, we want to bring our customers unique experiences and exclusive experiences. That has been said, like that is out there. And I think where I draw the line was, for me, was I'm hurt as someone who's covered Xbox now for 8 years, when everybody, and I'm talking everybody, that PS4 came out and everybody went with it. You see what I did? I grabbed my Xbox One box with a Kinect that I didn't want. And I stood there and went, okay, I'm covering this brand. And for 8 years now, I've done that on the podcast, like we spoke about before. And I think I get to this point and it's, once again, it's messaging. It's messy. It's not responding quick enough. It's letting us run away with this. The conversation we're having right now shouldn't be a conversation of it's a rumor. It should be a conversation of what is matter of fact. Microsoft have to be better at messaging what they're trying to get across to us, the consumers, right? And I think that's what really hurts the most. When you hear these rumors, again, I agree with you both when it comes to experiences. Me personally, I'm on the line of, I like buying a Nintendo Switch to play Nintendo games. I like buying a PlayStation to play PlayStation games. I own everything. I'm very privileged, very lucky, right? And I like buying an Xbox to play Xbox games. I buy these consoles for unique experiences. That's why I do it. And that's why I invest in each of these ecosystems. Nowadays, I'm mainly a PC player. Like, if I'm being honest, that's my main hub of where I play games. I own all the consoles and I've just moved the house. So now I'm in the living room using consoles a lot more. But for me, it comes down to messaging. And I think that's the big part for me. I do feel, when I said this on Twitter, I do feel betrayed as someone who's been in this ecosystem for a really long time now. And the problem what I have is I was there for the Xbox One, right? When we had,
you were there at the bottom.
Well, let's start with, I got in on the 360 when it was really good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So Xbox 360, we're up here, we're living life. There's great experiences everywhere, right? We can all agree with that. Gears of War, Uncharted, keep inserting games there, here, there, and everywhere. Then we get to the Xbox One where, me and Ryan, we've spoken about it. Sunset Overdrive is kind of the only game on that entire console, in my opinion, that was worth having that console for an exclusive. Now we're getting to a place where Microsoft have invested their money in the brand of Xbox, because I think that's where the two different conversations are. Microsoft and Xbox. Yes, they're owned. I understand. I'm not stupid. Please do not come at me on Twitter. I'm not an idiot, but there are two different things here that we're talking about, right? I'm upset by what Xbox is going through right now, and I do think that exclusives are an important part of our journeys as gamers, right? And I'm telling you right now, you ain't seeing PlayStation put nothing on Xbox, and you ain't seeing Nintendo do it either. So why is Xbox doing that? To make more money? They're making a lot of money as it is. And again, the business conversation is a whole different conversation, but deep down, I couldn't lie to you and say it doesn't hurt while I sit here in my Xbox jumper. It does. It hurts.
Well, I'm very glad you brought the messaging piece up, because I could not agree with you more on that side of it. I think a big reason, the big reason why this has turned into a, well, let's just call it a public relations nightmare right now. This has snowballed out of control. And as usual, Microsoft is messaging terribly. And the reason it's terrible is because the messaging is, as usual, ever since the Xbox One was unveiled and it was the always online, or the online check-in and the TV stuff.
Yeah.
It's like they got punched in the face and have just never recovered from that. Their messaging is constantly, and this, by the way, I've said this before at various times in the past. This is not something I've never put to tape. But their messaging is always reactive rather than proactive. And to your point, Fixer, that they are rumors. However, Phil Spencer took to the artist formerly known as Twitter to address them, seemingly lending a lot of validity to said rumors by saying, quote, "We're listening and we hear you. We've been planning a business update event for next week where we look forward to sharing more details with you about our vision for the future of Xbox. Stay tuned." So this is a company that they're never confidently telling us why their brand is awesome, why you should be gaming on Xbox. It's always reactive. It's always like, oh, this one. Okay, sorry. We'll fix that. Oh, we'll take away the Kinect. You don't want the Kinect bundle. Okay, we'll take that away. And okay, all right. We don't have any exclusive games. Okay, well, we'll buy some studios and we'll get some games eventually. And it's just constant. It's a constant backpedaling on the back of their heels. And Nintendo and Sony aren't like this. They're just not. If you're comparing them to other first-party platforms, I will cite examples now because people that might instantly want to start typing in the comments, I'll give you some examples. In fact, I'll give you three of them. I'll go in reverse chronological order. So this year, Xbox Developer Direct, great. We did a live podcast right after. We talked about, great show. We loved it. We got that release date for Hellblade 2 that we've been waiting for a while. Game looks great. It's easily the most beautiful game on the entire platform. And I mean that in the highest of compliments. It looks absolutely stunning. Only for a couple weeks later for all of this to snowball out of control. Like, any momentum for 2024 that was earned, and I want to use that word specifically, earned by that developer direct, it's gone. There's no more momentum now because they're now in this mess. Let's go back to last year, 2023. Again, the developer direct, the first one they ever did, they took the best of, they stopped with their wildly overproduced, way too long showcase, not the summer showcase, but the Major Nelson ones. And I love Larry, and I'm not trying to direct this at Larry, but where they've got like all these hosts and it's just a bunch of filler and nonsense. They boil it down to, let's just do the Nintendo Direct, but we'll kind of do it our way a little bit. And the format, it hits right away last year. It's great. And then they shadow drop the aforementioned Hi-Fi Rush. Love it, yes. And then what happens just a couple months later? Redfall happens. A game that, now, are they allowed to ship games that aren't amazing? Yeah, it happens. It's reality. Not every game's a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10, but Microsoft continued to hype Redfall and promote it. It's their first $70 game. and it was like, yep, here comes the one of the first big exclusives from Bethesda since we acquired them. And it's from Arkane, who's got this sterling track record. And meanwhile, they either knew or should absolutely have known that Redfall was not going to hit, that it was not going to be a great game. And in fact, it's not even close to a great game. And they should have been messaging to get to properly recalibrate and lower audience expectations, which could have helped Redfall go over better. You know, a bad game is still never going to go over great, but instead they were blindsided by it. And Phil has to go on an apology tour on Kinda Funny, which, you know, I give him a lot of credit for just owning it and doing that. But again, reactive rather than proactive. Let's go back one more time. I'm going to give my final example here. I know I'm kind of hogging the floor. I will get it back to you guys here in a second. 2021. Seems like they finally got it all together. They've launched the new console in late 2020. The box is great. It's full of horsepower. 2021, the best year Xbox has had in many years. Forza Horizon 5, IGN's Game of the Year. Halo Infinite, Psychonauts 2, nominated for Game of the Year at the Game Awards that year. Microsoft Flight Simulator, a 10 out of 10, not just from IGN, but from many other outlets. A few smaller exclusives thrown in there as well. And then what happens? 2022, all momentum gone. They barely ship anything in terms of exclusives, particularly in terms of big blockbuster exclusives. And part of the reason that happened is because Starfield got delayed, which they could have, I'm not saying they could have absolutely avoided it because, you know, game development's hard, but there was something that we called out at the time of Todd Howard calling his shot, laying down a specific release date 18 months out. In an environment where it's increasingly difficult for AAA games to hit release dates, especially that far away. So again, another avoidable mistake. So all of that is to say, the messaging fixer, I could not agree.
Can I add one more?
It's atrocious, and it's been atrocious for years.
I've got literally one more to add to that, right? Let's think back. Game Awards that happened last year. Blade gets announced. Do we see Microsoft branding on it at all? Do we even know the game is associated with Microsoft? No. And now I get to this point where we're hearing these rumors and I go, well, we knew. This is the writing on the wall. It was there. We just didn't see it because they didn't call it an exclusive. They didn't brand it with Microsoft. They didn't brand it with Xbox. It was literally just Blade. It's like, well, hold up a minute. That's to us. That's the first party exclusive at this point. And they didn't even mention it. And I think that's another part of the market, like you were saying before. It's confusing and it's muddy and it makes no sense sometimes.
Stella or Khalif, any thoughts on what the two of us have just been ranting about?
I definitely think they can communicate better. I mean, I've always been one to advocate for developers and other people being very upfront to their audience because, I mean, that's who makes your platform, right? Whether or not, you know, Microsoft makes a ton of money, you still do need to be very clear in what people should be expecting, right? So if you want them to understand that, hey, exclusives aren't really going to be exclusives, or we're going to be opening up our platform to other platforms, you should just say it, but like not have it be spread through rumors and things like that, because then people get to speculating, like Fixer said, and things get really out of hand. So I think you need to make a definitive decision and stick with it, right? And say it outright to your community, because I think it's just unfair to them.
Yeah, I think the thing that I keep going back to is you lose the ability to do proactive messaging when a lot of your stuff gets shared without your permission and you get things leaked. And that's like the hardest thing about doing corporate comms is you're always trying to figure out how to be on the front foot. But if something throws you on the back foot, that automatically makes you reactive in that way. And again, that's not an excuse for what that's happening. I hope that when folks from Microsoft Brass hear this, that they are continuing to do the work to shore up that part of their ecosystem and that part of the ship, because it has been a leaky ship for a while now. And I think that has been a part of the things that we don't see from Sony and we don't see from Nintendo in those ways.
This week's Podcast Unlocked is brought to you by NordVPN. Hey, if you're watching a lot of sports like me and you hate blackouts, NordVPN is a great way to go. You can use NordVPN, a virtual private network, to watch live sporting events, TV shows, films that aren't available in your region by switching your virtual location to a country that is showing that event. No more blackouts. It's also good for plenty of other stuff like protecting your private data, your bank details, your passwords, your online identity. You can protect your data while you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. NordVPN protects you wherever you are in the world. NordVPN threat protection also protects you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. NordVPN is also the fastest VPN in the world. No buffering or lagging while you're streaming, and it will stop your ISP bandwidth throttling. NordVPN is the price of a cup of coffee a month, so that is a super affordable, great way to go. To get the best discount off of your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E. That's nordvpn.com/unlocked. And that'll give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. And best of all, there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN.com/unlocked without the E.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
So I think that the conversation around, you know, brand marketing and what do we see from Sony and what do we see from Nintendo in comparison to what we've seen from Microsoft, there have been some parallel conversations about messaging that has happened because of very specific things. We can't lose sight of those either. We can't lose sight of the Don Matrick era of botching that messaging and them having to recover in really hard ways, which is the reason why you see a more front-facing C-suite with Aaron Greenberg and Sarah Bond and Phil Spencer being the folks connecting with community in that way. We had that on the PlayStation side with, I forgot the gentleman's name, but the whole, you're going to have to work two jobs to get a PlayStation 5, you know, PlayStation whatever. Like, there was a moment there when that got changed a little bit for a small amount of time when you had Adam Boyce and Shuhei Yoshida kind of being the face of the company for a while, and then they shifted away from that. Nintendo has always been very shrouded until Reggie came along. So it's these, there is this conversation that people keep missing about the feels part that gets overlooked because it is a double-edged sword. If you do decide to get closer to the community can love you and hate you at the flip of a coin. And we see well that said. Right now that's happening. And that's a part of the larger conversation of, so what does this mean for the business? What does this mean for the fan? What does this mean for the super fan, which is the ones that are leading the charge in the conversation right now? And all of those pieces are different. And all of those pieces have different layers to it. And the biggest part of this is like, this put a big spotlight on why games journalism is important. This was a big spotlight on why you need people who understand the way to source a story. This is why you don't have people leaking stuff, and then that being the narrative that gets the momentum, and then you have to do the backpedaling to get your corporate comms together to fix the thing that is happening. people are mad about Phil Spencer spending a week to be able to get this thing together. And I think that's probably what you should be doing to make sure, again, even if it's messy, even if it's late, that it's right. Because how do you message to people that, oh, the thing that we told you before, because of a shift in strategy that you have no say in, we're going to have to do this because it aligns with the business propositions and the business ideas that we're trying to put forward to move the company forward so that we're not just talking about 2024, we're talking about 3024, right? It's a big conversation that changes a lot of that.
I want to come back to the betrayal notion that Fixer brought up for a second, because I think there is, I know that's a strong word, but I know I think there's some validity there in the sense that if you're a PlayStation owner for the last couple of generations, or you know, even just this one, forget it, like either last one, this one, both, you've spent hundreds, thousands of dollars on that ecosystem. And with Sony delivering not just a lot of first party exclusives, a lot of third party exclusives, but particularly on the first party side, some bangers. So it's like you are consistently getting awesome stuff, which, you know, we're still kind of waiting for Microsoft to get to that level of consistency. But if you've invested in that PlayStation ecosystem, you probably feel like, again, and I acknowledge this is not necessarily rational, but this is what I think is a fair, I think it can be fair, but also not necessarily rational too. I think those two things can go together. You're probably thinking that, well, I've shown my loyalty as a customer to Sony, and they have reciprocated that. They have shown me that loyalty by continually delivering me all this great stuff. And now I think a lot of what that sort of sense of betrayal, that sort of house is on fire mentality going on this week with Xbox fans in a lot of cases, is because it's the same thing. You've got Xbox fans for this generation, maybe last one as well, maybe going back to the 360 era, maybe going all the way back 20 years, where you've invested a lot of money, thousands of dollars in the Xbox ecosystem. You've stuck with it through the bad times, those early Xbox One years, like Fixer was talking about, and now the ship is finally turning around. Like, you know, these studio purchases are now like going to be going on 7 years old. I think it's 2017. I think it was 2017, 2018 is when that first couple waves of them happened, and those acquisitions are now finally starting to bear fruit. And so you think, okay, Microsoft's finally starting to really show me the loyalty that I've shown them by delivering me a series of continual great exclusives. And now for all this to drop and all these left and right rumors of, well, it's, you know, it's all going to go to other platforms, I think that's where the betrayal comes. And you feel like Microsoft is not reciprocating the loyalty that you as a customer have shown them. I saw you out of the corner of my eye because my monitor's over here. I saw you nodding along there, Fixer.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, right? It's like I was saying, we haven't had, in my opinion, I don't think we've had great experience, exclusive experiences on Xbox for a while now. And now we're looking at what's to come in the future. They've just did all these announcements for all these amazing games that I'm super hyped for, right? And stuff that we don't even know that's going beyond that. And you go, yeah, but you can play it anywhere. It's like, well, then why did I invest my time, my energy, and most importantly, my money with you guys if I can get that experience anywhere? And I'm sure that the argument and the counterpoint to this will be, yeah, but it won't be for a year. It's like, okay, but PlayStation do this perfectly, right? They literally do this with their games. They bring out a game on PC a year later. But I bought a PS5. So I could play it now. And that's the experience I want on Xbox. I don't want to wait. I don't want other people to get it later. I want to be able to experience it in this one place. I was against it when it came to PC a long time ago. When games were coming to PC back in the day on the podcast, I was saying how I hated the idea. I was wrong. And it all makes, and don't get me wrong, it all makes business sense. From a business perspective, it makes perfect sense. But the idea of seeing Gears of War on a PlayStation console, for some reason, maybe not rational at all, but doesn't sit well with me.
It's a bridge too far, right?
Maybe it's silly. Maybe it's stupid. Maybe I'm being irrational. Maybe all of these things can be true. But it doesn't change the way I feel. Because maybe it's the nostalgia point of me. Like, Gears of War was the first game I ever played online, right? And it was me with my Xbox 360 pad, and those memories are there. I just can't imagine playing it with a DualShock 5, if I'm honest. And maybe that don't make any sense to some people listening, but to me, it makes perfect sense, and it upsets me.
I'm infinitely confused by that. Go ahead, Stella.
No. Talk to me.
I was talking about another analogy, and it reminds me, this is going to date me a little bit. There was a show called Home Improvement that happened some years ago. And there is the premise of that is the main character has a neighbor, and the neighbor, only thing you see is his head, and he's like leaning over the fence to look at his neighbor while he talks to him. That feels like that argument where everyone who is like, I am worried about someone else playing a thing that I already have, already own. And if Microsoft is smart, they will do a timed exclusivity layer of it, right? Where they're like, look, we have spent the money to make sure that this is going to be ours for a long period of time so that you get that first experience. After that time, and especially thinking about the new landscape that we live in, where there are a multitude of games that you're going to play over a year, you know, if you have the money to do so, X, Y, Z. If you're on Game Pass, you even still have more options to be able to do some of that underneath your subscription. The idea that my loyalty is now shifting or has been stepped up. No, not you. This is coming from a greater layer of the community.
Yeah.
Is that layer, is that feeling of betrayal. I'm trying to dig into that layer of the feeling of betrayal. And that's the part I don't understand, because it is literally, go ahead, Stella, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I don't mean to interrupt.
I was just going to say, the feeling of losing something. Yes, it is exactly that. The feeling of losing something that you already have makes me think that there has to be something else that is lacking in the overall experience on being on the platform to be that fickle, so that if something changes, then this is an example of the brand, of the business, of the thing that I have, you know, put my loyalty towards is now changing for me. That to me just doesn't make a lot of sense. Even if you think about the feelings part of it, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because you're still going to get to play that thing. If you shouldn't have never had an expectation to play the other people's stuff. And if that is a reason to have that explanation, that also doesn't make a lot of sense, because that was never going to be the case. There was never going to be a world in where PlayStation or Nintendo were going to ship their stuff on your console. You would have had to have purchased to get in on that ecosystem. So like the layers of, well, if they play the thing and I already played it, already finished it, but now they get to play it and I'm mad that they got to play it. I don't understand it. It is wild to me. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's like, so for me, most of the people that I get on my like replies are really toxic, like really hardcore fans on either side, right?
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because I think there's a sense of elitism that definitely comes from choosing a console, right? And that's been there for years. I remember growing up in high school, even when I didn't have a console, I knew there was a thing against like PlayStation and Xbox. I remember when Xbox 360 was huge, everyone hailed it, right? And it was just one of those things that like, if you didn't have it, like, what are you doing with your life? So I feel like it's one of those things of like, yes, there's definitely the nostalgia factor. There's definitely this like, I think this heritage that comes with Xbox, right? The history. And it's like they did things that they had games that people just didn't make like that, right? So I get it. And maybe it's because I'm coming from this perspective of like, I don't know, a younger generation that maybe didn't have access to gaming like before. So I don't have this connection to like, I feel tied to this console. I feel tied to this one, right? Like Fixture, I have all the consoles. I love them all. I think they're great. And for me, I'm just like, okay, well, if I can get this experience here and wait for it, sure, that's fine. I don't care. And I have a lot of friends who are the same way. But I think it's interesting because my perspective is very unique because I didn't grow up with any ties. So for me, I'm very much, and I know there's a lot of people like me too. And I know they're just like, well, why does it matter? Like, you still got that experience. We will never have the same experience you had in the golden age. It's same with me in like playing Halo now. I'm like, I wish I could have had this experience back when everyone else was. And it's like, finally, people are having that chance to be a part of the conversation. So for me, I'm like, that's awesome. But I do think that there is maybe a sense of elitism with some of these people that is kind of barring the conversation.
There's, I want to come back to something Khalif mentioned. I wonder, maybe as a sort of, if you want to call it a devil's advocate or just kind of a counter to what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think maybe if you're an Xbox owner and you've invested in that ecosystem, there's on some level, you might see this as an existential threat to the entire thing, that Xbox could go away. And the reason I say that is because, all right, if you've got a PlayStation, or you've got a choice, if you've got the PlayStation already, or if you've got a choice, if you're choosing, okay, well, I could choose the PlayStation 5, where I know I'm going to get a series of banger exclusives, and I'm also going to get a bunch of the cool stuff on Xbox that Xbox has eventually. Well, then why would you buy an Xbox if then? And there is an answer, which we'll get to in a second. There are good reasons to do that. But I think some people might worry that, like, well, this is almost sort of counterproductive in that you're just giving people more reason to buy PlayStation instead. And then if nobody's buying Xbox at all, well, then is there a future for Xbox in the hardware department if you're... You know, if you're kind of, you know, you add up what do I get on the Sony side? What do I get on the Microsoft side? It's like for a lot of people that weight's going to tilt even further towards Sony, potentially. Now, I think the potential answer to say, no, I want to be in the Xbox ecosystem, whether that's instead of Sony or in addition to Sony, it's Game Pass. And I think I want to say, I don't even know if it would be a hot take, but I'm just going to throw a take out and then I want to hear what each of you has to say about it. And that is, I think Xbox Game Pass is the console now. It's not the Series X. It's not the Series S. It's not a PC. It's Game Pass. Game Pass is the console. Obviously not in a literal sense because it's not a physical thing. But that's what Microsoft wants to sell you. That's the platform, not the box. You know, and that's even if Sony will never accept Game Pass on PlayStation, and if Nintendo will never accept Game Pass on the Switch. And so I think it's weird to maybe wrap your head around, but this is kind of what they've been telling us they were going to do, and this is what they're now doing. And so I think the appeal would be, even if these blockbuster games are going to other platforms later, if you do choose to invest in the Xbox ecosystem and you've got that Game Pass subscription, which again, I don't think the most ardent PlayStation 5 super fan would argue against Game Pass being a good deal. Like, it's a good value for what you're getting.
Yes, they would. You're wrong. Well, they would definitely argue with you.
Forget that, then. Forget that.
Reasonable.
You know, you'd get that. If Game Pass is the platform,
yeah,
you get Game Pass as a good deal. You get a lot for that money each month. And you'd be getting it first through Game Pass. So you're not only not paying $70 for each individual game, but you're getting the game before it were to go to PlayStation or to Switch. But the question is that enough to bring people into your ecosystem, or does it even matter?
Well, some games on Game Pass also don't come to PC. So there are some that are very exclusive to Xbox still. So I think there is some value to that.
Fixer, Ka?
For me, I think you hit the nail on the head, to be honest with you. If you look at it, Game Pass is the only thing they've marketed correctly and the messaging is clear on. We can compare to everything else Microsoft does. You don't think so, Khalif?
Kind of.
I think that's the only thing. The only thing they make clear in their marketing and their messaging, even when it comes down to ads, is Game Pass. It's that's the only thing.
They stumbled out of the gate with the multiple tiers of Game Pass when they started to get that, and they've refined that messaging over the past couple of years. But it does lean into that. But again, the conversation then changes to, you know, again, if all the Xbox zealots are right, this is going to be the end of hardware forever for Xbox. There's never going to be another console again. All of that stuff is going to happen. I think that, you know, we'll get at least one more generation of hardware out of them besides whatever the refresh is going to wind up being. We also have to make sure that we're not trying to front on the fact that, like, everybody in the system who's doing stuff, probably except for Nintendo, because they probably sell Nintendo Switches at a profit as opposed to a loss.
Oh, yeah.
In comparison to what Sony and what Microsoft do. Sony at some point may reevaluate the hardware conversations themselves, because they are also losing money in some ways on production for some of that stuff. They might have finally gotten into the black in terms of that, but that's a bigger conversation. Microsoft, when it comes to this conversation around Game Pass, they still have to layer up what is the extra layers of value. If you're going to do this, what's the extra layers of value you're going to get? Yes, maybe it is that, like, you got to spend the full amount on PlayStation to get the game and you get it here for free, right? Air quotes free. But also, there's another part of that has been the reason why, you know, during the FTC conversations about where they are in terms of Phil saying they're in third place, we have seen a slowdown in terms of Game Pass subscriptions. We are seeing across every vector within the consumer space that subscription fatigue is a real thing. I know I have it. I know a ton of people have it. There are a lot of factors within that conversation, but I don't think that in the grand scheme of all of this that Microsoft is thinking, even if we decide tomorrow to say, well, you are not getting another box, that they will not have another vector to get you games. They will have another version of something that will get you games to be able to play it in a way that you'll be able to do so. The problem is, and this goes back to the point that you made earlier, Ryan, about all the pieces of stuff that they kind of failed on. If you think about each one of those things, Microsoft has been very future thinking, even if it hasn't won.
True.
Kinect is a future facing product.
Xbox Live is a broadband only.
Right? Like, network. Nobody was doing that, you know, in a long time. HoloLens had a small layer of gaming in it before it got pulled into more other products of stuff. They have done things that have been future facing and have been on the R&D side kind of wild, and have failed at some and have done well on others. And I think that is a part of the, we're going to be the first movers in a lot of different spaces. And this is another layer of that with cloud, yeah, with this potentially new thing, and whatever happens with this new conversation that we're going to see from the business side, you know, come in next week. So I think players think they understand that that's a bad thing. And a lot of times the PTSD will kick in, and that will be the first thing that punches you in the gut with the feels. But to a certain extent, if you're going to do that work, you have to budget in the fact that it might not resonate with the fans, and it might be a thing that turns over the apple cart a little bit. So they're taking that media hit with the potential of thinking about the future going forward, while everyone else is still stuck in a very old, antiquated version of the way we deliver games to you.
And you're segueing perfectly into the last point, because we just have a few minutes. We basically have, like, time for 1 minute reactions / closing statements to this from each of you. So, yeah, the last point that I think we've got to bring up here fairly is, as you were getting at, Khalif, what if Microsoft's right? What if they're right? Sony, as we talked about, has masterfully built that walled garden, and Nintendo marches to the beat of their own drum. It usually works. Sometimes, like the Wii U, it doesn't, but usually it works. But console growth, the data is clear. It is not accelerating. Mobile growth is. You know, we talk about King in that Activision Blizzard King pickup. If Microsoft's strategy is to put Xbox everywhere on PS5, in whatever way they can do that, on Switch, on PCs, and on phones, is that going to be the winning long-term strategy here? It does, you know, you look at the younger generations. Yes, Stella, younger than you, even younger than you. Gen Alpha, 14 and under crowd. Do they even care about consoles the way that our age group cares about platforms? I'm not sure they do. They just want to play Fortnite or whatever the game is on whatever device is either literally closest to them or most convenient. And so these Microsoft might be right here. And I would say, even if they are right, they're doing a shit job of convincing us that it's right. And maybe next week changes that. But that's kind of the last. So I'll go, Stella, your thoughts on whether Microsoft might be right.
I don't think they'd be wrong for doing it, right? I don't know what their strategy is, so I can't say that they'd be right, right? Because you still have to do it in a certain specific way for it to go correctly and successfully for them. But I think for a long time, they've been kind of a pioneer in trying something different with gaming in their platform. And I would like to applaud them for that as someone who is not of that old school mentality of like, oh, platforms are like divided, right? I think Xbox and Microsoft have been doing a really good job of extending beyond that. And they've been wanting to be something other than being known for a console, which I think upsets a lot of people. But for me, I'm like, this seems more welcoming than the Xbox I grew up with hearing about. And to me, that seems more approachable. And I love that. I want more people to be comfortable with gaming. So, yeah, I if they went that way, I would not be upset.
Well said. Khalif, your final thought here.
Quick answer is I don't know if they'll be successful, but I really hope they will be. I am very much in favor of the direction that they're potentially going in. I think it makes a ton of sense for the future. I think it makes a ton of sense for the development community. I think it makes a ton of sense for getting that experience on other people's hands. And for as much as people are going to be mad at me, I'm like, put it everywhere, put it as much many places as you possibly can.
MC Fixer, the last word is yours, my friend. Bring us home.
Although I may not like it, I do think it is the right thing to do long term. It may not sit well with me in my stomach, but I think you all are correct. Hey, I don't have to like it to agree with it. And that's the and that's the point that I make here. Yeah, I do think long-term thinking for Microsoft, not Xbox, this is the right thing to do.
And they've got to message it. They've got to tell us why it's the right move. And that's, you know, right now the whole "we'll get back to you next week" is it's just leaving the house on fire. Like, maybe I'll call the fire department on Tuesday. See, you know, I'm a little busy right now. I know it's so we'll see what happens. But great conversation. Loved having all three of you here with me to talk through this. Thank you so much to our super producer, Red, doing a great job making all this technically happen, getting all that B-roll on point, as always, this week. Stella, thank you. We know we can find you on IGN. Actually, you want to promote your any social channels, anything you got going on real quick?
Well, first of all, I will be co-hosting Dice next week, so that is why I'm going to be missing it, and I'll be seeing Ka there, so that's very exciting. But yeah, so look for that next week.
Excellent. Mr. Adams.
Spawn on Me every week on Mondays drops usually around 6 a.m. Spawnies 3 drop in February 29th at 6 p.m. PST on Twitch and on IGN.
Yes. Then you're doing Leap Day of Spawnies, the 29th.
I'm taking every last bit of Black History Month with me.
MC Fixer, so good to see you, my friend. Give yourself a little plug here before we go.
Yeah. Check out my Xbox and Me podcast. You know, we talk all things Xbox, and we'll be moving with Xbox wherever it goes in the future. So, yeah, keep it locked there if you can.
Brilliant. Thanks, everybody, so much for watching and listening. We shall return, sadly, sans Stella for a week or two here, but she'll be just chatting it up in Vegas, doing the Dice Awards. That's going to be awesome. Yeah. I love that for you. So we shall return next week. See you soon.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.